Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Appreciate that song. Yeah. We should just do right. One song said, if you love Jesus or you love the Lord, just do right. Isn't he worth doing right for? I was praying this morning about preaching and just got talking to the Lord. And I told the teens this morning, when you're praying, just start thanking God for dying for you.
Amen.
Man, it puts things so much into perspective. No matter what's going on, you just start thinking about what God did for you. It makes you want to do right. Yeah. You know, the Bible talks about the goodness of God brings a man to repentance. You start thinking about how good God is, you just want to do right because you're thinking, man, I am such a dirty dog.
Amen.
There's nothing good about me, nothing good at all that I've done, and here's this great God who died for me, loves me, cares for me. Why can't I just serve him the way he deserves? He's been so good. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 7, verse number 17. It says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you please help me. God, I need you this morning. God, I pray that you please fill me with your spirit. God, I pray I say what only needs to be said. God, I pray that you'd help me and speak through me. God, empty me of all selfishness and pride. God, I pray that you just please make me a vessel fit for the master's use. And God, I pray that your spirit would just move through this place and touch the hearts of your people. God, they need you this morning. God, I pray that you say what needs to be said. And Lord, I pray the word of God will be magnified and lifted up. Lord, just thank you for this book. God, thank you for the opportunity to preach. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Matthew chapter number 7 here, a popular verse about by your fruits you shall know them. And it's talking about literally people who do not know the Lord. They claim to know the Lord. They say, Lord, Lord. And God says, I don't know who you are. And we understand that, but the purpose of this is talking about trees with good fruit and bad trees bearing evil fruit and things like that. And I just kind of wanted to use this text to kind of set up the message. And that's, you kind of know people just by who they are, right? This is, he says, you know them by their fruits. We know someone and what they're like, their personality. 1 Timothy talks about the conversation of a young person and how that's the way, you know, your personality, the way you are, the way you act. You kind of just know someone. You know, when they come in, you're like, you get talking just for a couple minutes. You're like, hey, that person's funny. Made me laugh a couple times. Some people will walk in, and you're like, wow, that person didn't tell the truth the entire time we talked. He's a liar, all right? So you just know people just by talking to them. You get to know somebody. The more you're around them, you start knowing that person, the way they work, the way they are. And so there's some things in the Bible, and the Lord gave me this, and really it's kind of a test for a Christian about that you can kind of ask yourself and say, Lord, am I serving you the best of my ability, or have I given up on some things? Have I quit in some areas? Have I backed down when I should have sped up? Because see, the Lord, what I was saying to you earlier, has been so good to us and so wonderful. He's the best thing that's ever happened to us, and we should serve him with all our heart.
Amen.
But the truth is, in all of our lives, we back up somewhere. We mess up something. And why? If we're thinking about it, we're like, man, God is so good, but what is wrong with me? And we know we're sinners. I understand we're going to fall, we're going to mess up, and we're not going to be perfect. But man, shouldn't we strive for it?
Amen.
Shouldn't we try to do right? And so I got thinking about two people in the Bible. You've got Queen Esther, and you got Jonah. All right, and you can mark your places in both those books, and Esther and Jonah, we're going to be turning through there. And the reason for that is there's two very different people, right? When we think of stories in the Bible, we're not going to connect those two people. But the Lord gave me a thought on this, and that one of those people, Esther, right, we know her story. She shows up, and King Ahasuerus is there, and Mordecai is there, and we know the story with Haman and all that goes on, and how she stands for her people, and her people need her the most, and she ends up doing what she needs to do, stands for God, and the Jewish race is saved because of Esther. Esther stands for what's right, and God uses her. And then you've got Jonah, the opposite side of the spectrum. God says, hey, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to go preach to this people. I want you to tell them that judgment's coming if they don't get right. And he preaches, and they end up getting right, and Jonah gets mad at God, and ends up ending the book of Jonah in the craziest cliffhanger in the Bible. I literally get so mad every time I read Jonah because I just want to know what happened to Jonah. Like, could you give me just a little, like, three more verses? Even if it's like, and then Jonah died. Okay, at least I know something happened to Jonah. But the end of Jonah is so weird, right? But that's just it. That's the life. He chose to do wrong. He chose to be bitter and angry, and then nothing. And that just shows you. And Esther's, you find out, hey, God used her. And so you see these two people, and so what we're going to kind of compare, and I'm going to go through some points. I want you to kind of ask yourself and kind of test your own Christianity and go, Lord, what category am I in? And Esther will be in the category of all in. Jonah's going to be in the category of all out. And I'm not going to give you an in-between category because in the Christian life, there is no in-between. In the Christian life, you either are all in or you're all out. Which one is it? When you're serving the Lord, you're giving God everything or you're giving God nothing. And here you've got Esther who is all in, right? Let's look at Esther chapter number 2. Let's see which category we're in. And if you're in here this morning and you're not saved, maybe this is your first time being here or you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you, then I want you to realize the only way into Christ is through his Son. Amen. The only way in is to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. And so when you're listening to this message, you think, man, I don't even know if I've ever asked Jesus Christ to save me. I want you to be thinking about that the rest of the message while I'm preaching. Think about, have you ever asked Jesus Christ to save you? And ask yourself some of these questions and see where you stand. Esther chapter number 2, verse number 5, it says, now in Shushan the palace there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimea, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, from whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took her for his own daughter. So I want you to look here. This is the very first thing. Now, we're going in the understanding that you know the story of Esther. Like I said, she saves her people from Haman, who wants to destroy all the Jews. And this is her start. This is her backstory, if you will. This is where she begins. Here you've got Esther, who was forcibly taken from her home in Jerusalem and carried away captive and is now under a king in Ahasuerus, who's not a godly king, does not care about the God of Israel, is not raised with that. She only has Mordecai, who is her cousin. Her parents are killed. Most likely, they were killed when they were brought over. And so you got all this going on in Esther's life. And like I said, now she's being raised by her cousin. And then God shows up and says, hey, I need you to deliver my people. You realize Esther's the only book of the Bible where God is never mentioned, but he is so prevalent through the entire book. Right. You see his hand guiding Esther, guiding Mordecai all the way through the book of Esther. And so now the Bible says for such a time as this, right? We all know that verse. Mordecai says, hey, it's for this time that you've been brought to the kingdom. It's for this time all this happened to you because now it's time for you to deliver your people. Say, what is the point of all this? This is a young girl who was taken from everything. This is a young girl whose parents are dead. This is a young girl who really would love to just sit back and kind of just live life. Not because she's some terrible person, but I would think, man, she's had it pretty rough. Don't you think she doesn't really want much more to happen in her life? Don't you think she's had enough? Don't you think she doesn't want to be the one who stands out in the open and saves her people? I think at this point, she just liked to blend in. At this point, she just liked to get through the rest of her life as hard as it was, as heartbreaking as it was, and just get through to the end and say, hey, I survived. I think that's what she'd like. But do you know, not one time in the book of Esther, from chapter 1 to the end, do you ever see Esther go, Mordecai, why are you asking so much from me? Mordecai, I'm just a young girl. My parents are dead, and you're asking me to save my people? That's too much for me to bear. Say, what's the point? All in never makes excuses. She had every excuse in the book. She had every reason not to do it. She had every reason to sit back and go, you know what, Mordecai, I'm sorry, but I just need to sit this one out. You know my parents are dead. You know how hard this has been in my life. You know that everything's been ripped from me. I can't do this anymore, Mordecai. I'm sorry. You've got to find somebody else. But she didn't make any excuses. How many times in your own life, and I'm talking about me, man, I had to search my heart when studying this message and go, how many times have I made an excuse for why I won't serve God? How many times have I heard young people say, when I'm older, I'm going to serve the Lord? And how many times have I heard older people say, oh, if I was younger, I would serve the Lord? Yeah. Where's the in-between?
Yeah,
what happened is you got a young person who said, when I'm older, when I'm older, when I'm older, and then they look back and go, I've lived my entire life and never served God. I wish I had those years back.
Amen.
When are you going to stop making excuses?
Amen.
I've heard married people say, if I wasn't married. I've heard single people say, if I was married. Everyone has an if. When are you just going to say, hey, God's been good to me. I'm going to serve him anyway.
Amen.
All out makes every excuse in the book, but all in, listen, she had every excuse. She said, all right, Mordecai, I'm scared, but I'm going to stand for God.
Amen.
I'm going to do what needs to be done.
Amen.
She had every excuse, man. And I've heard all the excuses, but we've got to stop making excuses. Look at Jonah chapter 4. Hold your place in Esther. We'll be turning back and forth the whole message. Look at Jonah chapter 4. Verse number 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger,
Amen.
And of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Wait a minute. Say, what was Jonah's excuse for not going to Nineveh? He knew that God was merciful. He knew they were going to get right. He knew they were going to hear the message and change their lives. That's why he didn't want to go? What a crazy excuse. Listen, I don't know about you, but when I'm preaching, I appreciate it when people get right. When I'm preaching, I appreciate when the altars are full and the Lord starts moving. There's nothing like that.
Amen.
Man, you go back to your seat and you just feel so humbled because you say, God, I didn't deserve to be used, but thank you for using me. Thank you for the hearts being stirred. Thank you for being gracious. Thank you for being long-suffering and kind and merciful. Thank you. And here's Jonah going, God, I ran because you're merciful. I knew that you'd change your heart about them.
Yeah.
I knew that you'd forgive them. What? What kind of preacher is that? You say, that's a terrible excuse.
Amen.
But what excuses do we have that rank right up there with Jonah's? But we justify it because we go, well, no, it's not that bad. Yeah, but it's still your excuse for why you won't serve God.
Amen.
You've got a reason. You've got a reason. Man, I was in the bus route. I was doing this for the Lord, and then I got started a family. We started having kids, and we just don't really have time to do all that right now. Maybe when they get older. Wait, you don't want to show your kids you serve in the Lord? You don't want to show them the ministry? You don't want to show them how good God is and teach them the love of God and show them God working in a wonderful, mighty way? Why are you going to wait? Because one day they're going to turn 18 and they're going to look at you and go, Dad, I never saw God in your life. Because you had all the excuses in the world for why you won't serve him.
Amen.
If you're sitting here this morning and you're not saved, maybe you're saying, preacher, you don't understand, I'm a pretty good person. I've done this, I've done that, I've lived right, I give to charity, I help this, I'm a pretty good guy. Yeah, I've messed up here and there, nobody's perfect, but if you do the weight and balances, I'm pretty good. No excuses. No excuses. The only way is the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Isn't it amazing that God said, hey, my wife, me and her were talking about this. There's personal convictions, biblical convictions, and we can get in that whole argument, and we could talk about that. But there are a couple different things where we're unsure, we're sure. There's some things like that. But you know what Jesus Christ made very plain? I am the only way to heaven. You can argue about this, you can argue about that. But when it comes to salvation, it's only one name given under heaven by where we must be saved. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're in here and you're making excuses, there is no excuse. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse number 8. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Verse number 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Listen to me, church. You can have every excuse you want right now while you're alive. You can say, hey, I'm too old. You can say, I'm too young. You can say, my wife doesn't want to get right. You can say, my husband doesn't want to get right. You can say, my kids don't want to get right. You can say, I'm just working too much. I'm trying to make money to provide for my family. I'm whatever. If I list all the excuses and I don't hit yours, you'll go, oh, he didn't hit mine. I'm good. So whatever your heart is condemning you right now, saying, hey, that's my excuse for why I'm not serving God. And whatever that is, when you're before God at the judgment seat of Christ, the excuses are wiped away from the table. When you're standing before the holy, almighty God, eyes like fire, feet like brass, a tongue like a sword, and he's looking into your eyes, your excuses, they're not going to be good excuses anymore. When you see the nails in his hand and the nail prints in his feet and the sore in his side, and you look at him and he goes, all this I did for thee. And you go, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I had every excuse for why I didn't serve you. When he had every excuse not to carry that cross. He had every excuse to go, hey, God, just wipe them out. Let's restart. Listen, they don't love us. They don't care for us. He came to his own and his own received him not. They're the ones crying, crucify him, crucify him. And we sit here and we go, I can't believe they would yell crucify to our Lord. But I promise you, if any one of us lived 2,000 years ago, we'd be in that crowd shouting, crucify him. And he hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Man, what a God.
Amen.
He did that for you and I. He died and bled for us. And rose again the third day, and now he stands at the right hand of the Father, and he's our intercessor, and he's there for us. He's our Savior. He's our comforter. He's everything to us. And yet, every day of the week, we go, God, I'm going to serve you tomorrow. I'm just real busy today. God, I can't. God, as soon as this thing clears up in my life, and I got some free time, I'm going to serve you, I promise. And you know what the devil goes? Here's this, this, and this. Sorry, you're still busy. You say, God, as soon as this is done, you know how many young people we've lost to sports? I'm not against sports at all. But if you put sports before God, you're wrong. Because they will play an entire season and go, hey, I'm just going to miss some Wednesdays, preacher. I'm just going to miss some Sundays. Not a big deal. As soon as the season's over. But then, lo and behold, the season's over. And, well, I got to keep training. I got to keep practicing. I don't want to get hurt. I keep missing church over and over and over again. Then you got the one kid who goes, man, I just need to get a job. And you're right. You do need to get a job. But then what is it? Oh, you only work on Sundays. You only work on Wednesdays. And sure enough, they're never in church again. Because they had every excuse, I'll serve you tomorrow. Yeah. Hebrews said, how can we neglect so great a salvation, not reject? The problem is we don't reject God, we just neglect to get to it today. Yeah. We always think, I've got more time. Yeah. We always think, I'll get to it tomorrow. And then you eventually run out of tomorrows. And you look back, and how many older people have we seen with such regret in their eyes going, man, why not do more? Why not do more? You'll have no excuses at the judgment seat of Christ. And if you're not saved in here, you'll have no excuses at the white throne judgment. See, at the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus Christ is going to stand before us, and thank God, he's going to say, Father, the devil's right. He's accusing my child, and he's done some things. He's messed up. He's made excuses, but there's only one thing that needs to be said. He's redeemed. My blood has bought him. He's my child. He's forgiven. He's paid in full. He's bought with a price. He's good to go. Thank God for that. Listen, when I think of that and I know the sins I've done, I know how messed up I am, I know my wickedness, and yet I'm going to stand before God and he's going to say, forgiven. I can't wait. and to stand before my Savior and hear him say, hey, that's my child. I've messed up so much, but I've got a God who says it's all forgiven. It's all okay. The slate has been wiped away. But listen to me. If you're in here and you're not saved, you're not going to meet that Savior. You're going to meet the one who said, you had an entire lifetime to accept my Son. He's only got one thing to say to you. Depart from me, for I never knew you. And you're thrown into the lake of fire. I don't say that with happiness or pride. I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. If you're not saved in here today, please get saved.
Amen.
There's no excuse in the world that's going to work before.